When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live with you here on Sports Grid. It is a Tuesday night. I'm Kevin Walsh with you on Game Time Decisions. 2 hours here to go through tonight's game. It is a packed NBA board. Plenty of college basketball action as well. Full NHL slate. Joe Maddon will help us with that. Coach James Young steps by as well. A lot for us to go through here on this Tuesday night. So let's just open it up because, as I said, it's a packed NBA board. We did have a very light Monday slate of action there. A controversial ending at Madison Square Garden. The Knicks got the win, certainly no cover, only beating the Pistons by two. But it has left a lot of Knicks questionable tonight. And at home, they're catching points from the New Orleans Pelicans. It's something for us to keep our eye on there. Will Jalen Brunson be playing? This NBA slate as a whole, again, if we could just pop that up, is full of some interesting spots. Of course, again, a few back-to-backs. The Pistons are in action as well tonight. Some of the top games that you have on this slate here, no Lakers. The Warriors are going to be playing. Jordan Poole again. But Dallas-Cleveland is one that a lot of people will be interested in here. And this 4.5-point line, I think, is a strong reflection of the book's belief in Dallas, actually. I know that might sound rare to say about a team catching 4.5 points, but the Cavs have been booked very strongly, especially with Donovan Mitchell expected to be into tonight's lineup here. And this only being 4.5, for the Mavs that are sitting right now in that Western Conference play-in race, I think the books are a believer on this team. We saw that reflected in both the games they've played so far since the All-Star break, even if they're 1-1. But being the favorite over the Phoenix Suns and being a favorite in Indianapolis against the Indiana Pacers there, it certainly jumped off the page. We'll bring our radio audience into the fold. We're live with you on Sports Grid, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Kevin Walsh, it is Game Time Decisions on a Tuesday night. Other interesting spots here on the board tonight. Philly catching double digits from the Boston Celtics. That is a line I want to talk a little bit about and kind of the takeaway from what you can read on that line. Still shorthanded Miami Heat against the Blazers. They did get a big-time win, though, against the Kings last night, catching 7.5 points in that game, despite being shorthanded. A huge step-up spot from Bam Adebayo here. Brooklyn goes to Orlando, catching a bunch. No Karl Anthony Towns tonight for Minnesota. Creates an interesting spot against the Spurs. A lot of people will be looking Anthony Edwards. I'm going to look towards Rudy Gobert. We'll break that down in a bit. This Milwaukee team hitting a very soft upcoming four games or so, which is huge for that updated win total that we did play to the over. So excited to see how that plays out. And then we've got Houston at OKC in prime time. These teams just played in Houston, a 10-point line in favor of the Thunder. We'll take tonight's NBA slate and we'll send it into the conference markets here in the association. Not a ton of day-to-day movement, but still some things that stand out here. The one thing I want to hit on just quickly is the fact that we no longer have the Philadelphia 76ers, you know, firmly on this graphic. And this uncertainty around whether or not Joel Embiid is going to be returning is incredible. I think it is clear as day that if Embiid does not make it back for the Sixers, that team is going to be one that a lot of people are going to want to play in round one. Maybe they can win a round. It depends who they play, right? They're playing the Knicks. They're playing the Cavs. It feels winnable. If they're playing the Bucks, if they're playing the Celtics, it certainly will not. If they're playing in Miami, that would be very interesting there. But they're not winning a second round without Joel Embiid. But here's the other interesting part. Let's say Embiid doesn't come back by round one. If Maxey and Tobias Harris and Buddy Hield, all led by Nick Nurse, their head coach, can win a series, is Embiid ready to go for round two? It's one of the biggest questions, but you'll also just see the strength of the Boston Celtics in this market. The odds makers are trusting their numbers. They're trusting the advanced metrics. They're trusting their eyes. The Celtics are, by any look, the best team in basketball. So they are, and just because they have had prior failures on the highest of stages, conference finals, of course, losing the finals to the Warriors, is not going to have them drop this number. Because for Boston, it is reasonable, based on their prior success, they will be in the Eastern Conference Finals. If they are in the Eastern Conference Finals, they're going to have home court advantage. They're going to certainly be a heavier favorite than a plus 105. It is the first time for me when you kind of size this all up, you could basically say, you know what, maybe there is some value on Boston in the Eastern Conference. Western Conference here, what you still have, the top two records are Minnesota and Oklahoma City. Still obviously way too much unjustifiable respect from the Clippers, but people love wasting their money. Maybe the new uniforms will bring new look next season, not happening this year. Denver is only 1.5 games back, though, of Oklahoma City and Minnesota. I think that is relevant in two spots. It's relevant here in the Western Conference market because if the Nuggets get back up to the one seed, it's going to really justify the distance in between Denver and Oklahoma City and Minnesota. But of course, the MVP race. If Jokic has the best record in the West, it's a done deal. The award is his, and he's 1.5 back. SGA, Luka, they are not beating out Nikola Jokic if the Denver Nuggets have the best record in the Western Conference. It's all something for us to keep our eye on. Let's zoom forward here to this college basketball board. We mentioned it. The top 25 tonight certainly increases. Last night, the top 25 had a big one in the Big 12. That was Baylor and TCU. Unfortunately, the Jacoby Walter prop did not get home, but he had a huge second half scoring, 13 points in the half. Hit a couple of three-point shots for Baylor. They got the job done. RJ Davis, though, was the man of the night on the UNC-Miami game. 21 in the first half, 42 for the game. He was absolutely brilliant for the Tar Heels. Tonight, a couple of interesting spots. Kentucky, 16, goes to Mississippi State. They're now catching 4.5 points. That is a ton. I understand spots. I understand maybe the up-and-down nature of the Kentucky Wildcats. I'm tempted to bet Kentucky plus the 4. It's not a trap if you're well aware what's going on here. I don't think Mississippi State is 4.5 points better. The world where this team can go out there, grab a cover, grab a win, but no cover would not surprise me one bit. You have some of your ranked mid-majors, Dayton, San Diego State, and Utah State here. Houston is laying double digits, I think 13.5 to the Cincinnati Bearcats. BYU catching 8. Kansas still expected to be without Kevin McCullough. Makes for a very interesting game. We'll talk about the College Board a moment in quick pick, but let's just put eyes on tonight's ice slate here. I started to already dive in. Duchenne helped us out big time with a NHL best bet last night for the point as he did score a goal in that game. You see the Eastern and Western Conference odds expanded here a little bit as well. But that NHL board, a lot of people will be looking for Toronto. Can Austin Matthews continue the high-level goal scoring here? Colorado at home trying to snap a little mini losing streak at around minus 140 against Dallas. So a couple of interesting spots. Again, you see it's a big board, so we'll go through that all here on a Tuesday night. But the quick pick, as I mentioned, it comes to us from the college basketball landscape. And that is Justin.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Edwards, over 8.5 points. Usually, I am always betting bounce back spots. Justin Edwards is coming off of the best basketball game of his young career. And this is a keep it going spot. Keep the momentum rolling. The key thing for Justin Edwards is the minutes. And if what he did last game does not earn him more minutes off this Kentucky team, then Cal is lost. So we'll break this down and your NBA slate next right here at Game Time Decisions on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live with you right here on Sports Grid. It is a Tuesday night. It is Game Time Decisions. I want to expand just a little bit on the Justin Edwards prompt. There are a few sides as well on the college game that caught my attention tonight. Two dogs specifically. One of them is Kentucky, which we'll talk more about. I'm also probably going to end up betting BYU. This number is huge now. It is creeping closer to what Kansas laid at Texas. I think BYU is comfortably better than Texas. I think Kansas winning multiple games in a row by margin without Kevin McCullough is a tough ask. I just want double confirmation McCullough's out. Maybe that already exists and he's out indefinitely. I just kind of want to see if we can get that. Also, I think San Jose State is in a decent spot catching the 22.5 late night. But here's the deal with Justin Edwards. Again, if you watch this show, you know for a fact that I like bounce backs, right? The ideal breakdown is this guy has missed this prop in three consecutive games. Justin Edwards tonight is coming off of, unquestionably, his best game at Kentucky, all things considered, the best game of his life, most likely. I don't know, maybe he scored 85 in a high school game. But 28 points on 10 of 10 shooting against the number 13 in the country at Alabama at the time, of course, 13, was absolutely incredible. It was the first time he scored 20-plus points as a Kentucky Wildcat. The reason I am willing to go back to Justin Edwards is a few. But one of them is Justin Edwards, and this is the stuff I care about, but Justin Edwards was the top prospect from this heralded Kentucky class. Dillingham, Reed Shepard, DJ Wagner, Aaron Bradshaw. Justin Edwards, at least by ESPN's top 100, was the top guy. And that's a big reason why Cal has never given up on this kid. That's why he has been in the starting lineup in 25 of 26 of the games that he has played this year for Kentucky. He knows what Justin Edwards can be if he finally clicks, and my goodness, did he click against Alabama. Now, I know that Mississippi State is a different level. First of all, you're not home. You're not Lat Rupp. You're now going on the road. Alabama is almost outside of the top 100 defensively and is as fast as any team in college basketball. Miss State, not super slow, but relatively is slower and is a top 15 defense in the country. I get it. But I'm not asking him to score 28 again. I'm asking him to go over 8.5. And I think what stood out the most was the 29 minutes that he played in that game against Alabama. The best lineup that they had in that game included Justin Edwards. And if we get him to play 25-plus minutes, he's gone over this prop in 6 of 8 games where he's cleared that mark. If we get him to play 20-plus minutes, he's gone over that in 13 of 17 games. So it really is about workload for Justin Edwards, who has hit this prop 2 games in a row. But again, that workload, 29 minutes is what I'm talking about, gets me over 8.5 points. His number was, because I looked into it before the Bama game, 7.5. And it was juiced to the over. They only moved this a point. We're not buying the top of the market. This isn't the most expensive number we'll see on Justin Edwards, I hope, all year long. No, I don't think that's how it's going to play out. I'm looking for Justin Edwards here to stay hot. You want to play all 15-plus, I think, is at plus 530. I don't mind it. Because Kentucky, look, they have Rob Dillingham, but I think there's a level of erraticness still to Rob's game that Cal doesn't trust. DJ Wagner's not been the guy. I don't know why he doesn't play Reed Shepard 40 minutes a night, but he doesn't. I think he would love for Justin Edwards to be a consistent guy every night playing 30 minutes, and that's what we have the potential to see here tonight, and that's why I'm playing him over 8.5 points here against Miss State. Let's go to the NBA side of things. A couple of interesting spots here tonight. One of my favorites is going to be Mikal Bridges over 7.5 rebounds plus assists. Look, the Brooklyn Nets are a mess. They are coming off of a nice win here, but you'll see more of that influence tonight on the second leg of a back-to-back there without Ben Simmons, of course. And they're also out with Cam Thomas, who unfortunately did not get his home last night. Left early with an ankle injury. Probably wasn't going to get there regardless, but it obviously maybe cut out a couple of minutes where he could have got up for some extra shots. But on the season, when Ben Simmons is out, he averages, Mikal Bridges, 8.7 rebounds plus assists. Now, that is a ton of games. But when Cam Thomas is out this year and Mikal Bridges plays, he's 7-2 over this number. He's coming off of a loss. He's not missed this in back-to-back games this month. So give me Mikal Bridges over 7.5 rebounds plus assists. The other player prop I'm going to play is Rudy Gobert, 15-plus points. Gobert, so Cat is out tonight. And I absolutely understand anybody who runs to the window on Anthony Edwards. If you were betting earlier in the day, you obviously got great number 27.5. But I'm not going to play Ann over 31.5, 32.5. That is a big-time number. What I am going to do is drop down that Rudy Gobert prop. It was 15, or it is 15.5. Went up to the minus 135 to play the 15-plus because he's landed 15 enough times for me to prefer to play the juice, and I'll tell you why. So he played one game this year without Cat. Cat's only missed one game, which has been a big reason, by the way, why Minnesota has been so much better this season. Cat missed a ton of basketball last year. Kind of an underrated aspect of why that team didn't live up to those expectations, but that is what it is. Look, so for the one game that Cat missed, Gobert had 21 points on 10 of 13 shooting. I don't want to key in on the 21 points. I want to key in on the 10 of 13 shooting and think about the potential workload that we could see from Rudy Gobert. This season, when he gets at least 10 field goal attempts, he has scored 15 or more points in 13 of the 15 games, and he landed 15 three times, which is why I played the 15-plus. If you look this season when he gets at least 8 shot attempts, which if he doesn't get 8 shot attempts, that would be pretty stunning. He has had 9 or more in both games against the Spurs this season. I think to some degree he gets up for that matchup against Victor Wembanyama, obviously both from the same country. 19-12 over a 15-plus prop there in this game. Last season, when he played, because he obviously played a ton of games without Cat, but in 12 of those games, he had 8 or more shots. Last year, the workload was obviously a bit skewed. They just weren't as cohesive. But in that run, in those 12 games that he played without Cat and had at least 8 shots, 15-plus points on all of them. So that is a good enough sample size for me here to play the Rudy Gobert number for 15-plus. We've got a team total tonight. That's on the Dallas Mavericks at 114.5. I like Dallas coming off of a loss. Off of a loss, this team plays a lot of overs, and they cover a lot of numbers. But I wanted to specify it down to the team total because they've scored 115-plus in 16 of 23 games that they've played coming off of a loss. And this has been a hot offense. It's one of the reasons they're one of the hottest teams in the NBA. They're averaging over 120 points per game over their last 13. They've scored at least 115 in 11 of those 13 games as well. I know during this run, one of their unders was against the best defense in basketball, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who held them to 87. The Cavs are at the moment the second best defense, but they've also played OKC, put a buck 46 on them, and Orlando 131. And those are teams that are ranking inside the top 5 defensively as well. And then lastly, aside tonight, give me the Sixers plus 12.5. Look, I mentioned we were going to talk about this a little bit. I don't even think this is a Sixers disrespect line. I think this is insight into how much better the books believe the Boston Celtics are than every single team in the NBA. I think they view this team as 4 points clear, 3 to 4 points clear of every team in the league on a neutral. That's how it reads right now. And that can be true, but it is hard to do consistently. Boston is now on an 8-game win streak. They come out of the break. They cover at Chicago. They cover at New York. Now they're laying 11, now down to 11.5, but 12.5 to Philly. This team played in Boston without Embiid and Maxey. And the line was 11.5. Maxey's playing, Buddy Hield's here. It's the same number. Now, I know Kristaps missed that game, but come on, what are we doing? I think the Philadelphia 76ers are not getting enough respect for what's coming in here. I think the Boston line is a touch overinflated. By the way, they covered that number. It was a Pat Bev all-star game level performance. But I think we got a nice number here on the Philadelphia 76ers, and I'm playing them plus 12.5. So just to recap and re-rack, that's Mikal Bridges over 7.5 rebounds plus assists. It's the Mavs team total over 114.5. It's the Sixers plus 12.5 points against the Boston Celtics. It's Rudy Gobert 15 plus points, and it is Justin Edwards of Kentucky over 8.5 points. There was some interest in the Hawks money line, some interest in Fred VanVleet's assist prop, but I left those to the side for the time being. Again, we might add some college basketball sides. We'll certainly be with you here for a little bit. But coming up next, it's going to be Tom Vecchio live on a Tuesday night on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If we're in the mix, it means Tom Vecchio is here, a fellow hockey guy. Tom Vecchio. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, a lot of NHL action tonight, huge NBA slate as well. My baseball research is picking up, getting ready for the season. Going to lock in a ton of futures for that. I'm ready to go.
Oh, that's right. I don't know. It's been so long since baseball has been mentioned. I quickly went, is Tom a baseball guy? Obviously. You hit the home run champ last year, Matt Olson. So is that the market you're most – are you now, like, labeled the home run champ guy? You kind of have to bet it every year. Tough scene.
Well, yeah, I did hit Matt Olson at 28-1 last year, which I spoke about many times on different shows on the early line, or it wasn't called the early line back then, but I spoke about it with Ben and Donnie.
Right.
So this year it's like I've got the ball rolling, and as I said to them, Ronald Acuña at 19-1 is probably the first player I would consider – based on obviously a combination of his skill and the odds. Wow. If there was no odds attached and you were just asking me flat out, who do I think does it? I think it's Pete Alonso this year, but he's at plus 850. So I would never bet that number, but I just like him if it was just a prediction of who was going to do it. And I also have some longer shots that I'll be considering along the way.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll be honest. I don't know when baseball is going to start. I don't know. I don't know how much earlier the Dodgers Padres series is before everybody else plays. I don't know if it's like a week earlier, but we'll do the baseball futures. We'll be in the mix. I know that much. I did see this today. Hey, I'll give you a baseball story quickly. The Dodgers today, and let's see how they did. Were minus 300 against the White Sox in a spring training game. What did you make of that?
I actually have a working theory about the Dodgers in simply betting against them every single day, literally every single day, 162 times this year. If the math works out, it's kind of tough to judge because we don't have the money lines for every single game. You can't even find like an average. But if you just theoretically bet against them every single day and they're plus 200, plus 300, the opponents, the Dodgers are going to go, let's just say 110 and 52. Will those 52 times that you win at plus 200, plus 250, whatever it might be, will that still come you out, bring you out net positive at the end of the year? If you can lose 66% of the time, but the bets are so individually valuable, they still come out net positive. I'm kind of working on that right now.
I will work on that too. I'm very interested. What's interesting is, well, now we're doing a baseball segment. That's fine. I don't care. 103.5. I love stuff like this. So the win total is 103.5. So my question to you is, will you be like, okay, so if they go 100, I need to do this, 105? Because the floor, I mean, what, like if they win 95 games, like that's crazy, but obviously it would be great for you, right?
Like, right. Like, and part of the problem is you have to bet against them every day. You can't be like, oh, Glasnow's on the mound. I'm not going to bet. You have to stick to it. And that's part of like just the reality of the situation. It's more of me just doing it, testing it just for my own like – my own interest, that I just think you can come out net positive because the lines are going to be incredibly juiced. But that's like a discussion for a different time.
Yeah, I think, but again, to your point, and I didn't bet it today because it's spring training and I'm just not gonna, but I almost bet the White Sox today because the notion that anyone is minus 300 in a spring training game is outrageous. Now, again, they won. Otani, you know, homered in the game. Because of course he did, right? So you're getting a glimpse, but the fact, like I saw, and I'll shout him out, Gabe Morenci, of course, Sports Rage late at night. They're live starting at 10. Make sure you guys are locked in again. Sports Grid, we're live all night. He said they're going to be -500 against some bad teams. I'm not sure he's wrong. I'm not sure he's wrong that when the Oakland Athletics go to L.A., the Dodgers won't be -550 in the game.
Absolutely. Or when they play, they're going to play the Rockies, what, 15, 16 times, whatever it is.
Right.
Like my take on it is like they're not going to go 16-0 against the Rockies. It is what it is. When Glasnow's on the mound, they're going to lose games. And when they have a bullpen game, they're going to win games just because it's baseball. Weird stuff happens. So if you just buy into that variance, you can maybe come out net positive.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm gonna look into that a little bit more, get an idea of kind of what it needs to be. All right, let's get to some of the stuff tonight here. We'll start with the ice. I hate to say it, I've done this for like five nights in a row where I'll come into the show, I don't have the pick, and then I figure it out when we get there. I couldn't find the pick. The Cal McCarr points prop and assist prop way too juiced, which was very frustrating for me. So I don't have the ice covered tonight. So, Tom, you have to hold it down for us here to start it off. What do you look for, one of your favorite props on the board?
Let's start off with a goal for Cole Caulfield from the Montreal Canadiens. It's only +120. He's an elite shooter. He has just two goals over his last 10 games. They both came in the same game. He has 221 shots on goal in the season, which not only leads the Canadiens by 75 shots to the next player, it's also the eighth most in the entire league. Going up against the Coyotes, who are on a 12-game losing streak, Habs are also on a 5-game losing streak. Over the last 2 weeks, the Coyotes have allowed 3.70 goals per 60 minutes in 5-on-5 situations. This is going to be an ugly game. Do not watch this if you are going to be tuning into hockey tonight. Watch Dallas versus Colorado. That's an awesome game. But Cole Caulfield is an elite shooter, and this is a horrible defense right now, and we're banking on a player that shoots 4 or 5 times a game against the actual worst defense in the league right now. And again, he has scored two in the same game, over his last 10 games, and he's constantly shooting. So Cole Caulfield at +120 for a goal tonight.
Yeah, I don't mind the look there whatsoever. We're getting some plus money on the board. And then you're rounding this out with a little bit of action in this Devils game here tonight. What do you like?
Yeah, Jack Hughes out on the West Coast taking on the San Jose Sharks. They're horrible. 75.4 total shot attempts allowed per 60 minutes in 5-on-5 situations over the last 2 weeks, which is the second worst in the league. Hughes is coming off a game where he had just a single shot on goal, which is an extreme outlier because he has at least 4 shots on goal in 9 of his last 10 games and at least 6 shots on goal 6 times. So 4.5 against also an arguably worst defense in the league. I'll take Hughes time and time again, also in a bounce back spot, which we love.
We love a bounce back spot. Duchenne, I think his name is. I was unsure of it, but Matt of the Stars.
Duchenne,
is that my guy. He's
having an awesome year.
Try to get.
Dude, well, and he plays the guitar.
Pointless tree.
Well, he went to Nashville against his former team and put up like 4 points in that game. Then he goes down the street and is singing and playing guitar at a bar. He is a very well-rounded player and person.
For some reason, the bar thing. I'm glad I didn't know that going in. But he had 3 straight games at a point. So we're on him at -130 to get a point. He was 800th career point. I'm a hockey guy. Everybody knows it. It's what it is. Let's talk hoop. I was going to bet the Hawks money line. And then I got scared. Utah's terrible on the road. I just can see it. This pains me because I'm such a Trae Young guy. But I could see Atlanta being like, a lot of shots for everybody else. Getting a lot of touches. Getting excited about it. What are you betting in this Hawks-Jazz game?
That's straight to DeJounte Murray, over 33.5 points plus assists. Like you said, super great game environment, 238 over under. Both teams in top 7 of the league when it comes to offensive pace. It's a 2-point spread. We look to the Hawks when Trae Young is off the court. Murray has a 28% usage rate. And if we look at the per 36 numbers, he's averaging basically 25-8 per 36 for points and assists. This is a great spot. And this is kind of like a buy low spot for Murray, not only when it comes to prop betting, but also if you're interested in fantasy, DFS specifically. Get in now because he's going to be pushing towards a double-double, if not a triple-double, on a nightly basis. The Hawks constantly getting these high-scoring, insane games because they can't cover. They play absolutely no defense, but they can score with anyone. So Murray, maybe even Bogdanovich, I think Jalen Johnson is in for a great stretch of games as well. Double-doubles basically on a nightly basis for him. So all about the Hawks, but specifically Murray tonight.
Yeah, look, DeJounte Murray has consistently stepped up without Trae Young. I think he's kind of flashed. Reminded people of why they traded for him in the fashion that they did, and why the Lakers thought that could be a swing piece. Obviously, they landed on waiting to see if they can trade for Trae Young this offseason, which we'll see. But yeah, DeJounte Murray's been great all year long, especially when he's out. Donovan Mitchell's been a key guy for you. He's in the mix tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. What are you looking for?
That's over 26.5 points. It's only -102 where it was a little while ago. You know, coming off a game where he had 10 field goal attempts is just, that's not enough for Donovan Mitchell. He's averaging 20 on the season. He should be routinely pushing towards, I'm going to say, at least 25 field goal attempts. He was up to me. Great spot versus the Mavericks. Pace up spot for the Cavs. 231 over under. And I'm trying to think about this, like, realistically. Like, if Donovan Mitchell ends with 21 points tonight, the Cavs lose this game, right? Or, like, they probably lose this game. So, like, in theory, I discussed this on a show this morning. Like, if you were interested and you don't like the 26.5 number and you want to play the under, you should just be playing the Mavs money line as well at plus money. Because if Mitchell ends with 21 points, they don't win this. I think Mitchell's awesome. And I think just his shot volume and the overall game environment can get him to 30 points any single night.
See, now you have me curious. Like, what percentage of games have they won without him scoring 25? But see, this is the thing. It's so interesting.
I mean, their most recent game, but they played the Wizards.
No, 100%. I'm not saying they don't exist, right? It's not going to be but it's interesting. The correlated parlays, right? Mitchell for 25 plus and a win tonight is not going to pay you out some incredible number, right?
Of course.
But is the percentage different worth it to just that is how you play those numbers, right? Like I don't know. That's just not typically how we bet, but it's interesting.
That's the correlation I look for all the time. If X happens, then Y is probably also happening. So you should just be betting like Z as the actual outcome.
Right. Yeah. Again, it's very interesting. Do let me know where you land on the Dodgers thing, because I'm gonna take some time myself. Joe, our producer, did let me know that the Dodgers will be playing real games and then spring training games and then real games again because baseball is the dumbest sport, is awfully ran, and if someone had this idea in 2024, they would never approve this league. Tom, great stuff. We'll be right back here. Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's make it happen. Game Time Decisions is with you on a Tuesday night. I'm Kevin Walsh. Coach James Young is here. JY, how are you, sir?
Hey, man, listen, I got to do better on college basketball. I mean, what happened last night? Carolina up 14, right?
Yep.
Took a -13.5. They almost blow it. I had K-State -9.5. They're 25, and they lose. And then you kind of called it. Baylor, big, nice comeback by Baylor. I was stunned they won at TCU. Nice comeback in a low-scoring game.
Yeah, hey, listen, first of all, look, the college is always going to up and down. I will say this, though, JY. I know it's a lot because everyone's going to bet sports in their own specific way, but I'd love to get some more coach-player props in the college game, you know, especially with us both being here in Jersey and having access to them. Now, I know that people appreciate the sides. People love the sides. Don't abandon the sides. But you know what? Player props are a good time, and I know you love the player props here as well. Now, here's the deal, Coach. We get to start this off talking about what is clearly our favorite team to talk about, you and I, and that is the Kentucky Wildcats. They are catching a number, though, against Mississippi State. I know what this spread says. Everybody, I got to bet Mississippi State. Do you agree?
Hell no, I don't agree. Listen. I know people are gonna look at Kentucky and them being young, right? And they make mistakes and they do this, they do that. Did y'all watch what they did on Saturday night? I know it's Alabama, but 118 is 118, no matter how you slice it or dice it. This team is scoring. I know you brought up Edwards before. He could be the guy that can start to really turn it on now, because you do get sometimes inconsistent play out of Rob. Obviously, you look at Wagner. By the way, DJ, you need to go back to school for another year. I know you're not, but you need to go back to school for another year. when you look at it, Kev, they got so many dudes. You just need three of them to be playing well on any given night with Bradshaw. I think this team is going to make a run. I think Cal needs them to make a run because you and I talked on air. There's rumblings that a lot of these guys are leaving, whether we agree with it or not. I like Kentucky plus the points. I actually would sprinkle it on the money line and they win outright tonight at Mississippi State.
So I'll say this. I was talking with our guy Donnie today, and I mentioned this a few times here. Donnie is interested in betting Kentucky for a national title future. And I know Coach is interested as far as Kentucky goes for a national title future. But Donnie is, and I totally get it, right? Because I'll use Houston as an example. Donnie's mentioned two teams. And I'm using Donnie's examples, especially because I kind of already have my preseason futures and I'm focused on those before I reassess. Donnie said he wanted Houston to lose at Baylor so their number would drop. That makes a lot of sense. Houston won the game. They're down at 7-1 at most books, right? He wanted Kentucky to lose to Bama. I kind of got it. They win. They go from 40 to 30. He's like, all right, well, I hope Kentucky loses tonight. I would argue, JY, that if Kentucky loses tonight, I don't know about betting those national title futures. I think this team needs to be able to come off of that game against Bama and beat Mississippi State or at least stay inside these 4.5 points because consistency is the worry. In a one-game scenario, Kentucky can beat anybody. Houston, UConn, Purdue included. But McNeese State, Indiana State, St. John's, Villanova, they all look at that team. They go, oh, come here. Because we know that it might go left. And Rob will have 22 in the game. But DJ, unfortunately, has 3. And he's on the bench. And Bradshaw has more fouls than points. And it goes wrong. Kentucky has to string them together, JY. They have to.
They have to. Because think about it, Kev. We were in this spot. Right around this point last week, right? They came off of a great win at Auburn when Cal's team showed up and played some defense. And they turned around and they lost to LSU. So at some point, as much as you want to talk about teams, you know, yo-yoing, like, you got to start to play your best ball, Kevin. You're getting to that point in the year where you got to play your best. And this is going to be important for these kids, Kevin, to start to string these games along, right? Get their mojo going where they win a couple of games in a row. And, yeah, maybe their odds are going to drop. They probably will. But if they lose, I can't turn around and say I'm going to bet them to win a national championship because their odds go the other way. It just goes to the fact that they're inconsistent. If you want to bet Kentucky to win a national championship, do it now and hope that they just get on a run.
All right, Joey, the other college spot you're looking for in the early window here, that's the Houston Cougars against the Cincinnati Bearcats. How do you feel about what is currently the top team in the country?
I think what they're going to do is they're going to bring some absolute pain defensively. And I think they're at home. It's a whiteout in Houston. I think I saw something that they have the longest streak of in the top 25 in the currently. Or it's weird. It's some weird number that I saw. But when you look at them, this is a game where they should be able to impose their will. You know, Cryer has been better. Shed has been shed. We've talked to you and I about Juwan Roberts and his role. Francis inside, done off the bench, and they just D you up. This is a tough spot for a Cincinnati team that's not playing as well as they did earlier in the year. Give me the Houston Cougars -13.5 at home.
Let me ask you this, Coach, and I'm going to pull up a couple of other books here, but I know – we always take a look at the FanDuel odds. I know you've spent a lot of time this year kind of parsing through these top teams, Houston, Purdue, UConn. Who do you believe should be the favorite to win the national championship?
It's UConn. To me, okay. It's UConn. It's UConn, and then it's Houston. I know this is going to sound really maybe terrible to me. Whoever thinks that Purdue should be favored to win a national championship of those two teams, I know they're scheduled earlier in the season, but I think these other two teams are more battle-tested, and I think, to me, their ability to defend, Kevin, most importantly at the guard spot, with solid rebounding and rim protection and an ability to play half-court basketball makes them more likely to win the championship than Purdue. Purdue is relying on Zach Edey. We saw what happened. If Zach Edey gets pushed out of his spot outside the charge circle and he's a little too far away from that jump hook and those guards aren't shooting the ball, they're done. They're a one-trick pony. To me, Houston, but the number one team should be UConn.
Okay, so you still believe, you know, because all year long, not all year, but, the, you know, Houston has a, it's KenPom, but again, we just use it, about a 2.5-3 point gap, give or take, between them and Purdue, who's actually second, in about the same range for them and UConn. And there's no book you'll find that has anybody other than Houston book, UConn booked as the national title favorite. And the thing is, because of the nature of it, right? You know, you could still pick off. These are decent payouts, right? Plus 550 UConn, plus 700 Houston, 750 Purdue. If you're willing to bet one of the top teams. Hey, some people might bet two of the top teams and just, you know, let those numbers go, right? So I think that makes for an interesting situation here, Jay White. Have you where are you at right now? Because we've talked about these teams, but are you at the moment waiting for the bracket to kind of be finalized? Is there anyone that you're ready to, you know, press down and place the ticket on yet with the national championship odds?
Well, I was ready to place it on UConn weeks ago. I think this team, with the way that they're playing and the way that Cam Spencer has become, I don't want to say Andre Dawkins. I don't want to say Dawkins, right? Because Dawkins got so much better, Kevin, off the bounce. But as a sniper to stretch the floor with Cameron, with the way Tristan Newton is playing, and actually the play of Castles, his game is elevated in the last month and a half. I'm very comfortable putting down that they should win the national championship. But I am starting to think about putting money on Houston as well, because if I can get them both at plus 550, plus 700, I might split my money and put them on those two teams and then take a shot on like a flyer on like a Kentucky, someone way down the board.
Yeah, we'll take a look at all that. Let's talk about some of the NBA spots here tonight. JY, I'm on a Mavs team total of over 114.5. How are you betting Mavs-Cavs?
Couple different ways. Number one, I am of the mindset of there people are looking too much into that loss at Indiana, right? The Dallas team that's been playing as good basketball as anybody in the NBA, a Cleveland team that struggled against the spread the last, I think they lost the last four against the spread. Why is Dallas 4.5-point underdogs? Like, I that's one line I didn't understand. I think they're going to struggle. You talked about it. They're going to struggle to stop Luka and Kyrie. And I'll tell you right now, Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to go off a little bit too. So I have Tim Hardaway Jr. over the 11.5 points. I'm going to go with Dallas plus the 4.5. And I'm going to go because of the rebounding, and they need him, Daniel Gafford over 4.5 rebounds tonight.
All right, little Daniel Gafford there, Trust. How do you feel about this Mavs team overall, Jay Watt? Because, you know, this is a team you and I talked a lot about in the summer, and I like what I see. I know they just lost in Indiana, but I like a lot of what I'm seeing from the Dallas Mavericks right now.
They're starting to come around. I'm coming around to them because I think there is a pecking order, and it's Luka's team, and Kyrie is settling to that number two role. Tim Hardaway Jr., folks, I think should be the sixth man of the year, in my opinion. I know Malik Monk, I still believe, is the favorite, if I'm not mistaken. But I thought, you know, Lively's been a good rookie. I know I've knocked Daniel Gafford. They need a front court depth, right? And I think Gafford helps them. And honestly, they just had to get Grant Williams the hell out of there. It just was not working. It's a good spot for them. Kevin, they are tied for fifth in the loss column. They could make a run here because, to me, I think New Orleans may slide. I think Phoenix may not get there because I think they're going to be in the play-in tournament. I like this Dallas Mavs team because of their scoring acumen, but I do think they have a little bit of a punch off the bench, and I actually think Daniel Gafford and, to a lesser extent, P.J. Washington helps shore up some of the defensive difficulties that they lost by losing a guy like a Dorian Finney-Smith.
Let me Let me ask you this with the Mavs. And we have time. J-Way's going to stick around for a while. If the playoffs were today, let's say the play-ins, you know, we eliminate the Lakers and the Warriors. And the Mavs drew Minnesota in the 1-8. How would you feel about Dallas going into that series?
Honestly, very good. I think that's not a matchup that Minnesota wants. I think there's just too much scoring in the backcourt, and Luka can, you know, Luka can put a team on his back. I tell you right now, I don't think you want to see Dallas at all in the first round. I don't care who it is. The only team I think that they'll give them problems, Dallas, is Denver because of the Joker. But everyone else, fair game. Luke, Kyrie, they can put it together. And Jason Kidd is a very much underrated head coach.
He does seem to be growing a bit more favorably in the eyes of people, Jason Kidd. All right, we'll keep breaking down the hoops late tonight right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, what's the word? We're making it happen. It's Kevin Walsh, it's Coach James Young. J-Watch hanging out. I like this. We got some things to figure out here. J-Watch, where else are you? Let's see. Hold on now. 7 o'clock, NBA picks. I don't want to rush things. I'm still trying to figure out how much I trust Kentucky. What are you on, Orlando against the Brooklyn Nets? Now, see, I'm telling you right now, I love you. If you tell me you like the Magic and mention Sean Marks, you're going to go on a 5-minute ban. Do not tell me you are laying 9 with the Magic because of Sean Marks. What do you like in Orlando, Brooklyn?
I am taking the Magic. Simply put, no Ben Simmons. Second leg of a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. This is hard. This is really hard. And an Orlando team that's really trying to play for a top 6 seed. Last game, they barely escaped with a game winner of Banchero. I just don't think the Nets are very good. And they beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. Whoop the damn do. Like that's a major accomplishment. I think the Nets get their doors blown off tonight. Give me the Orlando Magic minus a point. I did it.
You did it. No. I'm really proud of you. I'm really proud of you there. We have to get into the Knicks thing a little bit. They're in an interesting spot against New Orleans that I'm now overly fascinated in. I'll do this right now because it'll save people from JY and I doing 8 to 9 minutes uninterrupted on Jordan Poole. Everyone associated with the Wizards needs to be fired for messing up the Jordan Poole thing the way that they did. The fact that they have moved him to the bench and he looks exactly like we all expected, I understand he's not that good, but there is no reason he's not averaging 22 a game at minimum. And the fact that they've shifted him to the bench and he just went for 6 threes against the second best defense in basketball is preposterous. One minute break. We come back. It's Game Time Decisions.